Thank you for joining us here at LWCCBP. Today you're going to be hearing a message from the awesome ministers that we have here on staff. We pray that God blesses you and ministers to your heart.
All the mothers, amen. Happy Mother's Day, amen. I got the opportunity to share this afternoon. And if you're taking notes, the title of my message is, What Do You See? What do you see? Because not only as mothers, you got a responsibility, you got pressures, you got all these things, but as individuals, how many know there's things that we face, there's things that we deal with, and we're going to look at the story of the 12 spies, and we're going to look at how they all started off good, but when things got hard, some of them seen things different. So we're going to talk about faith, and we're going to talk about fear. Because how many know, even as parents, even as moms, even as dads, there's a lot of fears you have also when you're praying for your kids, right? Man, I pray and they're getting worse. Or as husbands, you're providing for your family and you're working extra hours and you got all the pressure. You get home, and then your wife tells you don't spend enough time with us. And you got all these things that you deal with. Amen. But we want to look tonight or this afternoon, amen, at a story of the 12 spies. I thank my pastors, amen, for allowing me, amen, to share from the pulpit, amen. I want to thank my wife, amen. She's been coming out faithfully. Happy Mother's Day. And those of you that know, her mom passed away 2 weeks ago, so this stuff is hard for her, amen. But she's still here, amen, because she knows that it's in God that gives her the strength, amen, and the faith to continue to go on, amen. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, it says, God spoken to Moses, send men to scout out the country of Canaan that I am giving to the people of Israel. Send one man from each tribe, each one a tried and true leader in the tribe. Then in verse 17 and 20, it says, when Moses sent them off to scout out the land, he said, go up through the Negev and into the hill country. Look the land over, see what it is like. And then he says, access the people. Are they strong or weak? Are they few or many? Observe the land. It is pleasant or harsh. Describe the towns where they live. Are they open camps or fortified with walls? And the soil, is it fertile? Is it barren? And those their forests. And try to bring back a sample of the produce that grows there. This is the season for the first ripe grapes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, this afternoon for everything you're doing here within our church, Lord. Father, I pray I step aside, my God, and you use me this afternoon to share your word, my God. Let our hearts be good soil, and Holy Spirit, do what only you can do, God. Not what we need you to do, but what you can do on this special day, Father. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And everyone said, amen and amen. So here we find the story. And like I said, we're going to be talking about faith and fear. Let me just say this. Faith and fear, they both have something in common. They both need us to believe in something that we cannot see with the natural eye. So they both have something in common. I mean, because sometimes when it comes to faith, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the insurance, title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen. It says the conviction of the reality, faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So it's saying faith there is not something we're going to feel. How many could say amen? And so it's something that we can't see. The same thing with fear. Fear is, I mean, how many ever walked out at night and you got afraid of your shadow? Hello, somebody. Don't raise your hands, amen. Don't raise your hands, amen. And then in verse 6 of the same chapter 11, it says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Amen. Impossible. As Mother's Day is here, moms, you need more faith, amen, because sometimes when you pray for your children, they get worse. I'm a product here of a praying mom. My mom would pray for me and pray for me and pray for me so much she messed up my high, amen, but she kept believing, amen, and God did something in me because of those prayers. So moms that are here, continue to pray for your children, amen. Continue to believe the best, even when you can't see it because you're believing in faith, amen, to the Lord. Now, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So tell your neighbor, fear doesn't come from God. It doesn't come from God. So this afternoon, if you're here,
Fear may be gripping you, because fear can grip us in different ways. Some, you may have been wanting to start a business, but you're afraid. But what if I don't have success? Some, you want a better marriage, but you're afraid because you've been hurt so many times. And, well, I don't want to become vulnerable because what if they hurt me again? Some, in different circumstances, I want to be blessed, or I need to learn how to tithe, but you're afraid because you say, what if my other bills don't get paid? Because we all deal with this every day. Here we have the story of the 12 spies who went to the promised land. And when they came back, the Bible says 10 were full of fear and 2 were full of faith. And they were all there. Because how many know we all start off with faith? Because when we received Jesus Christ, it was by faith. We believed in our heart, and it was a good feeling, amen. But now to keep building our faith, now we have to walk into the unseen, and that's where fear comes in. But God, what some are afraid because the way you used to be, you think God can't change you. Tell your neighbor, God can change you. So 2 were full of faith, but when we read the story, we see that the fear was contagious because those 10 were able to sway the entire people of Israel. They said, no, we can't possess what God's given us. How many know every one of us here has a promise from God this afternoon? God has called you, and God's promised to fulfill and do the work in you, amen, that he said was going to happen through your life. But a lot of times we're afraid, God, I don't want to step out into the supernatural because I pray for people and they get healed. And you're scared of that. Or God, I don't want to go pastor a church because I'm afraid. What if I fail? And so we deal with this, everything, but we can learn some valuable lessons from this story because we're going to look at people with fear and people with faith. I want to bring out 8 observations about these two people, people of fear, people of faith. Because when we all look good in here, we all look like we have faith, and we do have faith because you're here. Amen. Amen. Everybody has faith. You got faith that when you get in your car and you put gas that it's going to start. Some of you's got to give it a little push, amen, because you're still working on those cars, amen. But you have faith that it's going to work. Those that are working, you got faith when they write you your check that when you take it to the bank, it's going to be good. So we all have faith, amen. But I want to look at some observations. The first observation I want to look at is they all experience the same thing. The people of fear and the people of faith experience the same thing. They all went to the promised land. They all seen that it was flowing with milk and honey. They all see all these different things. So people of fear go through the same experience and exposed to the same things of people with faith. Now, when you see people of fear, they always make excuses or they always blame it on different circumstances. Well, they had a better life. Or their circumstances were different, or their situation was different. But see, how many of us ever said, man, well, they had it better than me. That's why they're there. But when we read this story here, we find out it's not true. In Numbers 13, 24 through 26, it says, when they arrived at the valley, they cut off a branch with a single cluster of grapes. It took 2 men to carry it. And it says they also picked some pomegranates and figs. And then it goes on and it says, because they were a huge cluster of grapes they had cut down there. It says, and 40 days of scouting out the land, they returned home. Verse 26 says, they presented themselves before Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness. It says, they reported to the whole congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So all of them seen the good in there. And they not only seen the same thing, the people that were negative because of fear, they didn't see the same thing. What I mean by that is that you can all be in church here this afternoon, but experience different things. Some of you can be here and you're hearing this word and all of a sudden you're thinking it's for somebody else. All of a sudden, he said, man, so-and-so's not here. You're looking around, but what if God this morning wanted you to hear this word? You ever think about that? What if God this morning and says, okay, your faith is good, but I want you to have more faith? Or maybe you're here and you say, well, I'm afraid, man. Maybe you're in the home and you're afraid to graduate. Maybe you're in the home and you're a director and you say, man, God, I don't know if I can handle more women. I don't know if I can handle more men. I don't know if I can. No, what you need to understand that if God has called you, amen, he's going to equip you. They all saw the same thing. The second thing is they saw the evidence of good things. See, we all come to church experience the same thing. Hear the preaching. Hear our pastor sharing his heart. Feeling the Spirit of God make the altar call. But not everybody changes. Because people are still afraid to let go. If I let go, I can't play with this no more. Hello, somebody. Look to your neighbor and say, man, he's talking about you now. So they not only did that, they saw the evidence of good thing. In verse 13 of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 27, it says, we went to the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. They've seen the good thing. You come to church here, and we can see how God is moving and guiding our church. How many can say amen? We see how God gives our pastor, and he's able to lead us, amen, to where God is taking us. So everybody experiences that. They're both in the same place, but two came back with faith, and 10 came back with fear. Now, what's the difference? If you're taking notes, write this down. We see things not as they are. We see things as we are. Let me say that again. We see things not as they are. We see things as we are. So what I mean by that is if you're a trusting person, you're probably going to look at everybody as trusting. If you're a suspicious person, you're probably going to look at everybody as suspicious. Well, why are they picking up the offering? Why are they asking for money? What are they doing? Because you're a suspicious person. That's why two people can be in the same place under the same conditions and they come back with two totally different conclusions. I don't believe you're here out of coincidence. I believe God orchestrated all of this, these things for you can hear the word that you're hearing this afternoon. The third thing of people with fear, they turn the positive to negative. They turn the positive to negative. And that's in Numbers 13, 28. The NIV says, but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Sisenai there. It starts off with, but the people. They heard that they were walking in God's promise. They were in the promised land. They knew that God said, I'm giving this to you. Like some of you are here and God's told you, I called you. I got a city with your name on it. I can help your marriage. I can help your children. But we too stay there. And all of a sudden, the first words out of our mouth is but. If you're taking notes, write this down. Don't let your but get in the way of your faith. B-U-T. Come on now. Come back. Let me give you the definition of but, B-U-T. It's used to indicate the impossibility of anything other than what is being stated. How many of us say, but when God says, I called you, but God, you don't understand who I am. What about when he says, I want to heal you, but God, you don't understand how I feel. What about he says, man, I want to bring your kids back where they could know me, but God, you don't understand my kids. I want to help your marriage, but you don't understand my spouse. But don't let your butt get in the way of your faith. Amen. So they have shown them the fruit of the land. They held it up. These people looked at it. These people touched it. These people were amazed. They never seen anything like this, but they are negative. When you're negative, you're going to use logic and reason. How many know if it's faith, it's impossible without God? But God, how can you change me? That's God's part. Our part is just to surrender to him and whatever he wants to do. But a lot of times we don't understand that. God, how can you make my marriage better? Just surrender yourself, not your spouse. A lot of times we want to surrender our spouse. Oh, God, you got to touch her. Oh, God, you got to touch them. That's the devil. That's not the devil. You just got to surrender yourself. Amen. And when you surrender yourself, then God is able to step in and change us. And when he changes us, amen, we're going to have a better marriage. How many could say amen? Amen. See, people of fear, they take any kind of conversation, and before long, they turn it to, but what about? And then once you start throwing your butt in there, people of fear don't just have one thing. When they start talking, that fear begins to spread. That fear begins to grow. That fear begins to be exaggerated. Amen? How many ever exaggerated something? Right? Some of you say, man, I'm on a diet. You go on the scale and you gain like 1 pound and you tell everybody. I mean, you lost 1 pound and you tell everybody, look, I lost 10 pounds. You exaggerate it, right? How many people have clothes in your closet that ain't never going to fit you, but you have them in the closet and you say, one day I'm going to fit in there. It's already been like 15, 20 years, man. You ain't going to fit in them. Bless somebody with them. See, a lot of times we exaggerate. Number four, they start negative and they make it worse. They start negative and they make it worse. They take something that is negative, and before you know it, it's not just one thing, it's everything. In Numbers 13, 28, and 29, they go on, and after they said, but, now they say, worse yet, we saw descendants of the giant. He says, the Amalekites are spread out, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites hold the hill and the country, and the Canaanites are established on the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan. They started off with something small, but, and now they're exaggerating how big it really is. Some of us, we go to the doctor and they tell you, hey, we got to run more tests. And all of a sudden, you got all these diseases and the doctor hasn't even said that yet. You're exaggerating it. Don't start mad dogging me. I'm just saying the truth, man. See, here we can see how the negativity started getting bigger. How many know people that are negative like that? Don't just kind of look to the neighbor on the side. Don't turn your head just with the side of the eyes. Everything you tell them, they're negative. Right? Oh, watch it. Don't cross the street. Careful. Look both ways a bunch of times. You don't want to get hit by a car. Don't eat that. You're going to get sick. I mean, everything is something negative. It's got to come on it. The fifth thing, they reject the faith and encouragement of others. These are people that have fear. They reject the faith and encouragement of others. See, when people try to give them a faith perspective, it doesn't have an impact on them. We get that here from Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. It said, Caleb interrupted, called for silence before Moses and said, let's go up and take the land now. We can do it. Here were two men of God full of faith, and they go before everybody and say, let's go do it now. People of fear, they don't listen to people that try to encourage them. When they say, let's go up and take the land now, that's because that now just stands out because the person of faith, this is what the person of faith says, we can have the promised land right now. A person of faith, they're able to say, God, you're able to bring a breakthrough right now. God, you're able to bring change right now to my circumstance. We can have the best that God has for us right now today. A person of fear says, no, that's not possible. You see, the difference between a person of faith and a person of fear in this story is a person of faith can go to the promised land today. A person of fear will wander in the wilderness for 40 years and never see God's best for their life. Are you a person of faith or a person of fear? Number six, how many are still with me? They exaggerate their circumstances. They begin to talk about their fears, and when they talk about their fears, it begins to be contagious. It begins to spread. And that's in Numbers 13, verse 31 and 32. It says, but the others said, we can attack those people. They're way stronger than we are. They spread scary rumors among the people of Israel. They said, we scouted out the land from one end to the other. It's a land that swallows people whole. When's the last time you've seen a land swallow somebody up whole? They exaggerate it. And see what they said in the portion of Scripture. But the others said, we can't attack the people. They're way stronger than we are. They spread scary rumors. I mean, no, that's the tactic of the enemy. Let me spread rumors. You can't become that man of God. You can't become that woman of God. Your marriage will never be happy. I mean, your kids will never be saved. God will never hear you. Those are tactics from the enemy. And once we fall into that, it begins to get contagious. Once fear grips you, then everybody you go around, you talk about your fear, and then all of a sudden, they begin to get afraid. Then now that begins to spread. Number seven, they have a poor self-image. People of fear, they have a poor self-image. What happens is the fear they have of life and others, they begin to look down on themselves. And that's in Numbers 13, verse 33. It says, alongside them, where we felt like grasshoppers, and they looked down on us as if we were grasshoppers. A low self-esteem will cause you to believe what other people say about you. They had a low self-image here, a poor self-image, because it says that they looked down on us as if we were grasshoppers. So because they looked down, they took it and they said, man, I guess we are small. How many know none of us here are small spiritually? Some of you are looking, that's right, man. I'm a triple large. Come on, somebody. Talking about spiritually. They have gone from giants over there to grasshoppers here. They look like grasshoppers. See, when we talk about fear, it seems to be a little exaggerated. That's what fear does. Fear takes things that are normal and makes them abnormal. That's what fear does. It takes things that are normal and makes them abnormal. Number eight, they cause others to walk away from the promise. People of fear, they cause others to walk away from the promise because they listen to the people with fear. Numbers 14, verse 1 through 3, it says, the whole community was in an uproar, wailing all night, and the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The entire community was in on it. Why didn't we die in Egypt or in the wilderness? Why has God brought us to this country to kill us? It says, our wives and children are about to become plunder. Why don't we just head back to Egypt? And right now, you see, all of a sudden that fear gripped them. And they were willing to forfeit the promises of God. How many of us are like that this morning? We're in a situation that's unfavorable, and our faith is not strong, and that fear is rising up, and we're on the verge of walking away from the promises that God has given us. Never let fear decide your future. Tell your neighbor that. Never let fear decide your future. See, never let fear control your future, because that's exactly what happened in the story. They let fear control their future, and because they let fear make their decisions, they wandered for 40 years till everybody in that decade, the parents, passed away. Only Joshua and Caleb were there. So they lost out on the very best God had for them, which is the promised land, and they died in the wilderness. How many of us are going around in circles this afternoon because of fear? And you're in a place in the wilderness, you're like, man, God, I don't understand it. And God is saying, I'm trying to build your faith. I'm trying to get you to step up. That way I can fulfill the call that I have in your life. You see, when fear controls your decisions, it's the wrong decision. They started with a little fear, and after a while it became a big fear. Now, let me give you two observations of people that feed their fears. The reason why people keep feeding their fears is because they have forgotten what God had done for them. They've forgotten what God had done for them. Because when you look at the children of Israel, God had done some amazing things for them. How can they forget? They were slaves. They were in bondage, and the Lord set them free, just like us. When we get saved, we're happy that God set us free. Some here should be dead, should be incarcerated, should be separated, but God did a tremendous work in our life. We always have to be grateful for that. How can they forget that Moses came and said, "Let my people go"? How can they forget the plagues? How can they forget Moses taking them through the Red Sea and crossing over and they were saved? How can they forget the water that covered the Egyptian soldiers? How can they have forgotten all this stuff? And it's not like all this stuff happened 20 years prior to where they were at. It was only a few months since they were set free. But they forgot. You see, when fear grips your life and when fear controls your life, the things that God has done for you will be forgotten. How many of you forgot already where you came from? Now when you go through the neighborhood, you lock the doors. You came from that neighborhood, man. I mean, you know, window down still. Come on now. Lock the door, babe. Lock the door. See, number 14, it says they responded, why didn't we die in Egypt? Or why is it in this wilderness? Why has God brought us here to kill us? They forgot where they came from. Many of us, when we got saved, guys, we were excited because someone told us that God not only called us, he has something for us to do. We were excited. But now that God says, okay, in order for me to do what I called you to do, I have to do a work in you. And that's where a lot of us let fear come in. That's what happened here. Fear gripped them. When they said, let me go back to Egypt, they weren't saying, man, God. You know what they were saying? I know how to function in Egypt. I'm afraid of the supernatural. How many know we know how to function in the flesh? What we don't know is how to function in the supernatural. As we go, God takes us more into the supernatural, and God uses us more in a different way. And a lot of times we get afraid, so we say the same thing. Well, it's better for me to go back. No, it's not. Why would you go back after God has done so much for your life? The second thing people do is they settle for second best. See, they forgot. Because how many know when you forget what God has done for you, you'll settle for second best? Instead of going to the promised land filled with milk and honey, they decided to stay in the wilderness. Because they didn't want to change. They didn't want to stretch their faith. How many know faith only grows when we change? Somebody's getting quiet now, huh? Faith only grows when we change. We have to change our flesh and become more in the spirit for our faith to grow. And a lot of times that's the breakdown because we don't want to change. We want to still let the flesh take control of our lives. Look at your neighbor. Do they look like they're in the carne? See, all of a sudden, they settled. They compromised. How many are compromising here this afternoon? Don't raise your hands. Because, and what I mean by compromise, I don't mean like you're going and you're backsliding. What I mean is that you're compromising in the sense you know what God wants you to do, but you're afraid to step out in it. Some of you say, God, use me, and God, opportunities open up, and they say, okay, I'm going to use you right here. And you say, no, I didn't mean that, God. I want to be used over here. See, fear will always make you settle for less. And when you become satisfied with the present, it'll keep you from moving into the future. A lot of us are satisfied with now. And God says, no, I want to do a new thing in your life. The saddest day for any person is when they become absolutely satisfied with second best. See, when God brings us to a place where he wants us to go forward and he wants us to grow and he wants us to change, he's going to bring tests to our lives. And a lot of us, like, I didn't like tests in school. That's why I dropped out. Right? But how many know God's tests are to benefit us? And we're the ones to decide if we want to do it or not. It's us. We decide if we want to go through the tests. And the children of Israel were facing, and God said, okay, I'm showing you a little bit of the promised land. They seen it. They said, man, it's going to take a lot of work. I never experienced anything this big or this beautiful before. And they got afraid. But what did God do? God let them wander. He didn't stop them. How many know God will let you do your own thing? Just like the children of Israel. God let them wander for 40 years. God will let you live where you want to live. Hello, somebody. Some of you are living in places right now where God's told you, leave. Now, if you're married, I'm not talking about your marriage home, man. I don't want you to get out of here. Oh, pastor said, okay, it's okay for me to leave. No. You got to work it out. I'm talking about spiritually. We're in places where God says that you need to leave that alone in the flesh. I want you to move into the spirit. But God will let you have what you want to have. He'll let you be satisfied where you want to be at. He'll let you keep going around in circles. But let me tell you something. When they finished wandering in the desert for 40 years, where did God take them? He took them back to the same place where he told them, go into the promised land. See, some of us go around in circles and we can't understand why we can't get breakthroughs. Because maybe it's not we're not releasing to God, amen, what God wants us to release and learn, amen, in that season that we're in. God will never let you skip the lessons he has for you. Tell your neighbor that. God will never let you skip the lessons he has for you. Many times we run to avoid them. Many times we wander from them. And many times we act like they're not even there. But when you're ready to grow, God will bring you back right to the place where you said no.
Amen.
Right to the place where you said no. And he asked him the questions. Fear causes us to forget the good things God has done for us. Faith causes us to remember the good things God has done for us. How many are still with me?
Amen.
See, here's how faith and fear work. We never get rid of all the fear. We have the negative and the positive within us, and whatever one we feed the most is going to win. As long as we have this flesh, you know. So some are afraid to take the trash out at night. Some of you still need to sleep with the nightlight. And you'll be surprised the ones they are. I mean, me and my wife, we ran homes for 7-8 years, and we had tough guys all tacked down, their face, their arms, and they needed a nightlight to sleep. You know? So if fear is stronger than faith, fear will usually win. Fear will always hold us back. Fear causes us to lose hope in our future. But faith enables us to depend on God for our future. So how do I build my faith? And I'm going to close with this. 3 simple points. The way I build my faith is stay grateful. Stay grateful. People of faith remember the good things that God has done for them. Are you grateful this morning? Because sometimes when we go through the rough circumstances, we all of a sudden we forget what God has done and we start looking at our circumstance and then we start getting bitter. Oh, why did I marry him? Why did I do that? Because all of a sudden we lost our gratitude. Gratitude will always position you for God's best. Well, how do I know if I have gratitude or not? If you think God owes you something, you're not grateful. God, I've been serving you for this long. When is the door going to open? Stay grateful. Number 2. Stay growing. You can't grow if you're not grateful. Some of you are thinking about it. Can I? No, if you're not grateful, you're not going to grow in the things of God. Because you're going to be walking around, man, well, you owe me. And you know, inside, spiritually, you're not going to grow. Because that's pride. Humility is what causes us to stay growing. We got to humble ourselves. But I don't like him. It don't matter. Humble yourselves. Hunger builds your faith. Hunger builds your faith. How many are hungry right now? You're going to go eat at a restaurant and wait like 5 hours to get in. Hunger builds your faith. Well, stay growing. Grow in what? Grow in prayer. Grow in the word. Grow in loving people. And here's the best one. Grow in loving yourself. Sometimes we don't love ourselves enough because of the condition we're in. We can't look to us. We got to look to him and his condition. The Bible says he declared us righteous. He justified us. And some of us have a hard time with that. And the last point, stay dependent on God. Stay dependent on God. Stay grateful, stay growing, and stay dependent on God. See, they realize that we have to realize that the things in this world that we can't depend on, we have to depend on the things that God has for us. Be grateful and remember every good thing that God has ever done for you. Be dependent on God, not independent.
Amen.
Sometimes we're independent. If it's me and God. Right? Me and God. God puts leaders over us because he works in order. He works in struggle. That's why you got in trouble in the world. You didn't know how to come under authority. Whether it was at your job and you had to clock in at a certain time, you were always late. You didn't know how to follow the rules. And now that we get saved, God says, okay, you have to learn how to follow rules. That's me. I'm organized. Doesn't mean you're not going to feel like doing it. Even Jesus, when he was on Gethsemane, he says, Lord, take this cup from me. That was the flesh. That was him because he came in human form. But then the Spirit got a hold of him and he said, but not my will, your will be done. Let me just say this. To the person who has faith, no explanation is necessary. To the person who has fear, no explanation is possible. If you have fear, no matter what people tell you, you'll be listening to this word. You say, oh, but you don't understand. You don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't, but God does. And not only does he know what you're going through, he's given you promises. How many here in your promise, because of things got very difficult, now that fear is starting to rise up? God, can you really save my kids? Yes, he can. God, can you really heal me? Yes, he can. God, can you really restore my mind? Yes, he can. But a lot of times it's hard for us to believe that. As everyone stands here this morning, afternoon.